This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and people are talking shit on destroying cars like you didn't love doing it in Street Fighter.
I'm Brandy Posey, and these are my daughters, Attack and Dethrone God. They're beautiful.
I'm Tess Barker, and oh my god, I just remembered 2 weeks ago when we were getting mad at people for posting too many pictures of their homemade bread.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and lady, ladies and lady.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We are still here, still zooming.
Yeah,
and, we're zooming.
Oh no, God damn it!
This is my fault. I told the guys them right before we started that Lisa Curry, a friend of the show, made me some jam that she dropped it off. And every time I put jam on bread, I go, "It's all right, we're jamming. I wanna jam it with you." But then that will just be in my head forever. So I apologize to the listeners.
Now you just have to think of it as marmalade, so then you can be like,
Okay, this is. Oh my god, that was the worst, hands down the worst Lady Marmalade I've ever heard.
We all didn't know. We all kind of paused and we're like, is this happening?
And then we chose a different part of the song.
A lot of confidence, I'll say.
You know what, Tess? I just don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Hey! Oh.
Boom! 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 Boom!
All right, let's bring in our guest. She's a hilarious comic from Seattle, Andy Awancio. Hi.
Hi, how are y'all?
Pretty good. What's your favorite condiment-based song?
Condiment-based song?
Would you consider jelly or jam a condiment? I think so, right?
I think so.
Probably technically, yeah.
It's like the uncle condiment, I think.
Is butter a condiment?
Ooh, that's a good question.
No, I think butter's like a staple.
I think my favorite condiment-based song is mayo.
Mayo.
Did I just gentrify that song? I did.
You chose the whitest thing.
Well, it's a fake song. It's never mind. Even when I'm trying to make fun, I just
We're all trying, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes absolutely. It just happens.
Come, Mr. Mayo Man, mayo my bananas. That makes me want to die.
Oh, God,
sorry.
No, stop.
Sorry. Sorry.
Okay, stop. I like bananas right now. Everyone except Brandy has wet hair right now. It's kind of that sort of a morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're like a very like 90s love interest in a movie, you know, kind of caught in the rain.
Yeah, you guys are, yeah, it's very, very third act rom-com, all three of you. It's beautiful.
I will say, so I just full disclosure, forgot that we were podcasting at the time we were supposed to podcast, and I was on a long run. And like, so when you're running, you're supposed to run like your last miles faster than your early miles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a challenge, obviously. But since I knew that I had to like haul ass to get here, it was like motivating me. And I was like running super fucking fast. And the song that came on was I Want It That Way. So I was like running so fast that my face was red and I was like sputtering to Backstreet Boys thinking about you guys trying to get here to podcast.
Aww.
Oh, that's so
it makes
lovely.
Me feel good.
Yeah.
I love that. Is that like on a playlist that you've made for running, or is that a just random?
that is actually on my Vegas pre-party playlist, which I switch to sometimes when I'm running.
I've found
this. Wow. Can we... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to recommend... I accidentally heard and then started listening to a BBC radio show called Workout Anthems. It's BBC Workout Anthems. It's like a half hour of like ridiculously poppy song. And it made my rave grandma heart swell.
Rave grandma is...
Oh, I love that.
That's a great rave grandma.
Do you? Yeah, I absolutely identify as a rave grandma.
You sure do.
I do, like, because it's like, do you like techno, Andy?
I've been DJing for 20 years. Making some dance music since like middle school in the 90s, I say.
Really?
Yes. Nice. 90.
That's awesome.
596.
What were you using? Were you just like DJing with like albums when you started, or how were you doing it?
Just like digital files and music and stuff. There's this like old computer. This is where it gets boring. There's an old computer called an Amiga, and it had music on it, and people in Finland liked it, but nobody else. So I know a lot of Finnish people.
I trust Finnish for probably decent dance rave music.
Yeah.
Finnish. Sounds right. They get it done.
But I've been teaching DJing to kids for about the last 10 years.
Like what kind of kids?
Like really young kids. Kids have really good taste in music.
That's cool.
I believe that.
That's amazing.
There was a kid who was 8 and he did it, and his parents were like, yeah, he's been bothering us for 4 years. I'm like, your kid was 4 trying to bother you about DJing.
I feel like you're the good... I'm glad that you are doing that and that like you're stemming them away from becoming like a douchey DJ. You know, you're like, all right, I'm going to get them when they're young and like teach them.
you don't know how many times I have to stop shy of telling them drug advice.
That seems like it should at least be a high school elective.
That's a rave aunt, you know? That's what the rave aunt comes in and tells you about drugs.
I feel like the DJs I've seen after the fact, I, like, give them the, like, cocaine talk.
Yes. What's the cocaine talk? Can you give it to me?
Don't do it.
That's a pretty good talk.
Yeah.
What they would do is that you would... rave promoters befriend each other... The business card is giving somebody a key bump of coke. And so, much in the same way people like to schmooze with, like, representation and everything, the same thing happens with keys and cocaine and...
I mean, that's also happening in Hollywood, so it's very similar.
It's just the keys to a Prius instead, huh?
The key to unfounded confidence.
My dry cleaning, and then we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Do little kids have, like, really funny DJ names they come up with, or do they just go by their normal names?
I told them the other thing is during the entirety of the program of me teaching the kids, I tell them to not tell me their DJ name until graduation day.
Aww.
Otherwise, I'm going to look at them weird.
Also, that's good because they need to process it a little bit.
And yeah.
Like, not, it can't be like the band changing their name, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, think about this. What do you want your DJ name?
Right. I taught a Haitian kid, this kid from Haiti who had just moved here, and he didn't speak any English, just like a tiny bit of English. And he had DJ experience. So, like... I would show him stuff, and he knew how to do them. And then he would, tell him being bored by some things, but then I teach him to scratch. Aww. And then he would just send me videos of him scratching. But he's DJ Laser the Revolution.
Oh, that's a great name.
That's a really good one.
So, how can we attend a dance party that's being DJed by a child?
We were putting on I think like 8 or 9 years, we put on... all age dance parties at a ice cream parlor/arcade here in Seattle.
Oh,
that's That sounds very Pacific Northwest. That's really sweet.
It was really great. We would have DJs and like children would be dancing, and it's just, you can't be, there's nothing like being blown away by children dancing to rave music. I'm trying to tear. I could feel my bosom well up with pride.
Nah.
I got into techno at a really young age because my dad was like way ahead of the techno curve. And he brought home some like cassettes. I remember there was a band called KLF that he was really into. And Sunscreen. Do you know Sunscreen?
Yeah.
I don't know if these are just bands that my dad liked or...
KLF were like the original... they are the original ironic like group. They're two DJs who think that the music industry was bullshit. So they've given away all the rights to their music. And they famously took... £1 million and just burned it. And that was the front cover of their album called A Million and a Half Gone.
Yes. Whoa.
Wow, that makes me even more proud that I grew up on KLF. My dad just like brought home KLF and was like, this is the future.
Yeah. Did they get shit for not like giving that money to anybody?
They've
I guess that was just a statement.
It was a statement. It was forever ago. They're like amazing in terms of like being really super conscious in that same way that you're like
awesome.
Surprised that Chumbawamba is an anarchist collective.
Yeah, totally. Hey, when you get knocked down,
I did not know this.
When you knock down, you got to get back up again. I mean, that's rule number one of anarchy.
Yeah, they're an anarchist collective now. Chumbawamba is a terrorist group by this country.
Oh my god. Let that sink in. Really.
It was bad. I mean, it was bound to happen.
I'm going to join the Chumbawamba party. I'm into it. Man, I was like impressed by Andrew WK breaking his nose for his album cover, but burning £1 million is a whole new level of commitment.
I was really happy. Tegan and Sarah just posted on their Twitter feed. They said to, if any TERFs are following them, to unfollow them and fuck right off.
Oh, nice.
I know. I saw that. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
They're the best. I mean, they're talking about, because J.K. Rowling was coming out with all this fucking TERF shit
that
yesterday.
That was so random. It was like out of nowhere. It was like... Did you know you could
it
just
was,
shut the
fuck up?
It
was, but it wasn't.
Up.
She's been kind
before.
Of on that tip for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like,
she has.
Also, yeah, like, read the room, girl. What are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
I don't want to repurpose a tweet, but I will anyway. I posted that now J.K. Rowling can go walk with a ghost in a bathroom. Because the stories and there's a ghost in the bathroom anyway. Mm-hmm.
She sucks and we are not kidding.
Great when you feel guilty for saying a tweet to people. I'm like, but it's a funny thing I can say again, right? But I still feel bad about it.
I'll say it in the real world.
That whole comedy thing about not passing off jokes as conversation, that's out the door now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck no. I need everything I can get. We haven't done real comedy in 3 months. Like, we're going to use the tools in our toolbox.
100%.
That's the complicated thing about, like, all the Zoom shows is that, like, it sucks for us having to do them, but then it turns out I've, like, done comedy for sides of my family who hasn't seen me in 15 years. Mm. So they've gotten to see me do comedy live for the first time in my living room, and then that was actually really amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
There have been some byproducts of it that have been really cool. I mean, yeah, being able to reach a wider audience is obviously, like, really amazing, and and it has been, it has been, like, had some benefits I wasn't expecting as far as, like, doing it digitally. But it's just going to, it'll be interesting when we have a crowd again.
To that point, though, it's making it harder. Like, the people that you always kind of play off of that are like, oh, I want to come see you, but you don't want them to come see you. It's making it harder to, like, have an excuse for them to not come see you.
It's pretty much like I've said it to people. You can't say that you couldn't make it out now because you're getting on the internet to tell me you couldn't make it to the internet.
Yeah, you gotta make it into my show now.
I mean, I still have the awkward moment where, like, because we host Comedy Quarantine every weeknight, so it's like I'll be in there and I'll see someone come into the chat who's somebody who has said that they're like, oh, I'll come check out your stuff sometime. And it's like usually while I'm in the middle of like some garbage bit that I don't want them to be seeing. So I still have that experience of when you're on stage and you see someone you know come in and you're like, this isn't the one. Go away.
It was watching your, I haven't seen your show, but I've been watching your dance parties. It's been my Friday night thing for a bit. You inspired me to actually do my, you know, mix show on the regular. So there's that.
Yeah, Andy's been doing a DJ. When is it on Saturdays?
Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m.
Yeah, she has a really fun like DJ set to tune in on. So check that out on Instagram too. I haven't been doing mine for a little bit. I'm not sure when it's going to come back, but it just was like, I'm like, this doesn't feel, I don't want to just be dancing in front of a camera right now. It doesn't feel appropriate.
Yeah, so. It's a difficult Friday night with everything else going on.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But you're an actual DJ. You're actually like, I'm just kind of like, mm-hmm. I'm doing stupid shit in front of the camera for no reason.
Yeah. Know. Barb, what's the craziest thing that you've bought for your dance parties? Because you were like adding stuff every week, right?
Honestly, almost all of that was shit we already had in the home that we just discovered was in the home. So I will say that the see-through dick that that we bought for a bachelorette party.
I was there when you bought that. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Tess rolled into Hustler at like 9 in the morning in Vegas and nothing was open yet. And we were like, oh, well, we guess we gotta better get our friend, her bachelorette thing. And so we literally sat outside waiting for it to open and finally went in. And yeah, we got that. I'm sure I talked about it, but it's like you're supposed to pour beer into it and you're supposed to drink from the beer from the dick.
From like
never
the tip,
got used.
Okay. Beer yeah, dick. And it makes perfect sense. Beer dick.
Yeah, beer dick. A giant stein.
It's called brew balls. Brew balls is the name of it, everyone.
Man.
But now it's getting used.
Yeah.
So...
the person that came up with brew balls was, like, literally, like, sleeping and then woke up and was like, brew balls! It's just like a giant dip.
And they were never heard from again. That was the only thing they ever put into the world.
Like, are you tired of drinking from that German boot? Try a dick.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it is huge. It is a huge... clear dick. I mean, how many inches do you think it is, Babs?
I mean, yeah, it's probably 15 inches long or something. And then, like, just very girthy.
I was going to say, the girth so, thing is also, got
that,
yeah.
It's got that big IPA feeling.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's got big IPA energy. But it's like, you know, I just started using it to use as a microphone during Celine Dion, and then it was like, it just kind of found its own life, you know, and now it's just part of the dance party. And when people are watching, they're like, oh, the dick came out, they know that I'm very drunk.
You make it sound like the dick has settled down as a roommate in your house.
It kind of has.
It has, yeah, it's part of the family now, you know.
He was crashing on the couch, and now he's a full-blown member of the household.
Like most of my relationships with penises, yes.
That's been a really funny thing for a lot of the Zoom shows, is seeing all the alternatives to microphones people have been using. I had no idea how many of our friends have Hitachi wands, but I've seen all of them.
That's all I've seen.
Everyone's it's just using microphones.
It's like, this is the time we're finally taking back. This is our stand against humping stools. It's using vibrators and dildos for microphones.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a really funny concept to me, because like, I'm uncomfortable without a mic, but I don't know that I would be more comfortable with my own vibrator in my hand.
Is this thing on? Yeah.
I probably have to give it a good wash. I don't really know if I want a nose full of that while I'm doing that.
I know. I like definitely do stand up with my mic on my face. So,
oh
Oh man, it's funny. Yeah, Anna uses one, but she also has these two tiny hands, so she holds it with these tiny hands and just touches it while she's like doing her stand up now. It's fucking insane to watch. I love it.
I mean, it's weird. I was so doing Jake Kroger's podcast, and we were just talking about like the future of stand up and blah blah blah. And he was like, you know, I wonder if like sets will be for germ reasons if we do go back to stand up, if stuff will be a cappella. And I was like, what? And he's like, you know, without a microphone. And it didn't even hit me that I've been doing so much stand-up without a mic because I'm so uncomfortable without one on stage. But this, I guess it's because I'm holding my phone when I do, you know, Comedy Quarantine. So maybe it kind of holds as like a, but it is such a weird, it's like being at a party without a drink. Yes. You're like, I just want something in my hand. I need something here.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to any a cappella open mic. Like, I,
well, when he said a cappella, I was like, what? I was so scared, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what you mean.
it's gonna make every open mic look like a TED talk.
Yes,
I know, every time I have to do one I feel so weird. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm like twirling my arms the whole time or something.
Why is that so awkward? It's like the worst feeling in the world. Like, you never feel more naked. It's like you feel like your jokes even work. You don't know how to stand. All of a sudden you don't know what to do with your hands.
Well, because it gives you all the power. It gives you like the authority over the room too. So it's just a really weird position to like not have it.
Yeah,
I've been using 8 times the amount of air quotes during Zoom jokes. My like fingers just
this
wandering.
This is a joke.
Yeah, this is where it is. Exactly.
We'll take a. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I just have like a rusty machete from when they pulled out all the hoarder stuff next door. So I usually just have that off camera, and then I'll just pull it up slowly into the camera during my sets so people don't laugh at stuff. So. That's what I'm using instead of a vibrator.
This is not going to read on audio, obviously, but here's my gag that I've been doing during shows. I'll be like, yeah, you know, we've been drinking a lot lately. Like, you know, the booze has been running out really fast, but it's okay. I'm just like, you know, holding on. I get my... pour my mouthwash into a wine glass. Real great.
Oh, that's fun.
And then I have to pour it back into the bottle. It's not very fun.
Because you actually need your mouthwash.
Yeah. Because I'm like... And then I sit there in silence because I can't hear any laughter. Similar to what just happened. And then I go on with my day. I turn off the camera and then I go lay down on my bed 2 feet away and think about what I've done.
What a time to live in. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, we're back on Lady and Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm here with Andy Awancio.
Hello.
And what? Tess has got a business idea, so we had to get this on.
I think I have a great business idea, you guys. It's Toy Store. It's a toy store similar to FAO Schwartz, but it's for adults who are either on drugs or planning to do drugs soon. So it's all like trippy stuff, and it's like a no judgment zone, and you can, it's like FAO Schwartz where there's like the big piano and weird ass crazy shit like that.
I'm totally down for this.
You're talking about Spencer's Gifts. Oh. I believe
Spencer's,
what you're saying
really
is
just needs to add a big piano and then we'd be fine.
It would just be fart noises though.
A giant piano of
man,
farts.
I wonder if there have been any Spencers broken into. That would be everyone just running out with like fake poop and stuff.
Yeah, people need their 6-foot forks. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm turning 40 next week. I need all the lordy lordy look who's 40 crap.
I don't know about y'all, but like I work way out in the suburbs, and I've been seeing stores way out far from Seattle still boarding their places up, like anarchy's coming for them.
Yeah,
and my
yeah.
favorite one is a model railroading store boarded up its windows.
Like, oh my god.
It's going to get looted by anarchists.
Jesus Christ.
They got the fear in them, those model railroad guys. They're
gonna
not...
make like little tiny miniature Molotov cocktails and put them on the caboose.
Aww, I want to start an Etsy store
That's
of those.
Pretty cute.
That would be adorable. Like anarchist miniatures.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? Like, was it Fox News or somebody that called them Mazeltov cocktails?
Yeah. Oh no. Of course. Fucking idiots.
Good job. Let's talk about some like going out and protests and stuff, because I know, yeah. Andy, you said your partner's been like out doing med work at them and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's been doing street medic work at all of the protests and stuff, and so like I've just been, you know, keeping the light warm in the house for him to come home from his day out in the protest mines.
What was the...
Oh, my God.
I was saying, what was, like, the training like for becoming, like, a protest medic?
Linus has been a protest medic for, I think, 10 years.
Oh, cool.
He started doing it when he was going to school at Evergreen in Olympia. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of stuck with it. And so occasionally he has to go be a superhero.
No big deal. That's awesome.
That's cool. So he's been okay, right? Like,
yeah, it's been hectic a couple times, but he said for the most part it's really calmed down. It's a lot of like trying to keep people from being mellow and keeping them peaceful protests, and for the most part that's been working. And then there's the normal amounts of shitty police as there has been, but
yeah.
But I assure you, Linus just chimed in with a fuck the police.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's what I thought, but I was like, I couldn't tell where it came from, and I was like, what just happened?
We agree, Linus.
Yeah.
Hey, Linus.
Hey. Oh, you've been sitting there? You've been creeping the whole time?
No, he's been around the corner.
Oh, okay.
I was just like right behind you.
He was making coffee.
Thanks for being out there and helping people. That's awesome.
I can't hear anything.
Oh, your headphones on. Duh.
How has it been out on the streets, Linus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the week, it was really kind of intense, and it seems like the popo have kind of done a little bit more of a softly approach, but it's like still kind of gone off a few times. And yeah, I think it's really, really chill. Like, the energy is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And there's just some folks who are like mad as hell, and I really, really respect that. But like trying to kind of keep things with the way folks who are running the protest want to keep it, and kind of make sure it's peaceful.
Totally.
And, yeah, get shit done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Linus, what was your training like to become a protest medic? Like, I just don't know, like, what that actually entails.
Oh, well, so I actually got my EMTB when I was, like, 18, but that's, like, long since expired, but that was kind of some base training. But, yeah, there's a 20-hour street medic training that doesn't give you any certification. Like, you're not certified for anything, but you are prepared. So it's pretty cool, and it does stuff like teaches you how to, you know, wash people's eyes out, but mostly just, you know, be mellow, because I think that's a lot of times what street medics can do most of the time is spread calm.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for hopping on for a
second.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I've been listening a little bit. This is so cool. This is super awesome.
Aw, thanks.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, we're the heroes.
Yeah, it's us.
Linus is from Baltimore, like me. We're originally from Baltimore.
Maryland, so. Baby, yeah.
Like, what, Brandy, when I finally met you, I was like, said in my head, don't talk about Baltimore shit. Don't talk about Baltimore shit. And the moment I met you, I was like, Baltimore shit.
I mean, you know how much I love it. I love repping the DMV. It's the best over there.
Of course you're going to connect on that. I mean, we all, especially like, yeah, such a unique place like Baltimore. Like, if I ever meet someone from Salt Lake, we're going to talk about it, because it's like, remember that fucking weird cult city we grew up in? Let's talk.
how true is the movie SLC Punk to Salt Lake City?
God, honestly, I don't remember it at all. So I don't know. I mean, of course there's people there. Like there's definitely a good amount of people who were acting up against their upbringing. I will say that. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I only saw it once, you know?
Yeah.
So all I know is that Adam Pascal from Rent's in it, really. That's all I could tell you.
I think that's like saying The Wire is like Baltimore. It's like a there's a lot of truth to it. But it's not everyone's experience.
That's most of my life is being like, it's Baltimore. It's not like The Wire.
Yeah.
Because when you go to Baltimore and you like if you go to like the east side of Baltimore, mm-hmm. they'll be like, it's crazy here, but the west side of Baltimore, that's where it's really crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the people on the west side of Baltimore will be like, it's crazy here, but the east side of Baltimore, that's where it's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so many cities. Like, even LA, every region talks shit on every other region of LA. Like, mm-hmm. people on the west side are like, oh, yeah, the hipsters on the east side. Oh, are you, like, an east side hipster? And then everyone on the east side is like, yeah, people on the west side are just these, like, conceited divorced dads. But really, there's divorced dads everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that surprised me the most about visiting LA and getting to see it is, like, cell phone dead spots in LA are wild. You could be like, you could be across the street from a kombucha place and not have self-service, and that's so fucking weird to me.
Do you have Verizon?
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but you're right. It is like, it can be really dead. I mean, it depends on the provider a lot of the time, but like, in my house, my roommate has to like go outside to get any service.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like, I don't even live in LA, but like, my tip for my friends who moved to LA, I'm like, take your phone with you and look at your cell service while you look at the place.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I lived in the Hollywood Hills, which is like fucking Hollywood, my phone, I had to get a landline because my phone didn't work in my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pretty fucking crazy.
Let's go back to landlines, everybody.
I know.
I just watched, if anyone wants to be super paranoid about the future, which I'm sure all of us are now.
Absolutely.
But I watched The Great Hack last night. Have you guys seen that?
Which one?
The Great Hack.
Mm-mm.
It's like, I was telling my boyfriend about it because I could not sleep last night. And then I just woke up and was like, I'm going to watch something because like, I'm, you know, I'm just turning.
I only have one. I'm wearing my, I don't know, a hacker's t-shirt.
Oh, nice. Shout out to the K-pop stands out there right now. The K-pop stands are the modern day
K-pop
hackers.
Are really taking over. They're taking over like the Blue Lives Matter hashtags and stuff like that, which is K-pop content.
They're doing that's what they did in Hackers, where like they just sent all like the little things to like the big bad, and it's like that's what K-pop stands are doing. It's great.
There's a bunch of really accurate stuff in that movie, but they have to play it down. Mm-hmm. Because the government
give away their secrets.
The government told them to not have as accurate hacking abilities in the movie because the movie War Games with mm-hmm. Matthew Broderick had a thing where he got a free phone call by putting the microphone to the coin box, just something in passing.
Yeah,
that's real. You can really do that. And so they got in trouble because people were breaking open phones all over the country because of Matthew Broderick doing
Wait
that.
Wait a minute. So I remember back when there were payphones. Are you talking about the bottom part of the phone?
Yeah.
Like, were you talking?
Yeah.
That's crazy because I remember like looking at phones and seeing those twisted off. That was because of Matthew Broderick?
Wait, what would you do though? What would it do?
So you would take a soda can tab, you'd mm-hmm. peel it off, you unscrew the microphone, you'd use the magnet from the microphone to hit the coin box, and it would trigger it to like click over and give you a free credit, basically.
Whoa, that is wild.
That rules.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Matthew Broderick out in the streets.
Yeah, this movie. I was telling my boyfriend about it, and I was like, "The Great Hack," and he was like, "The Gray Hat," and I was like, no. "It's also just really." Totally opposite movie of what I'm watching, just like an old British lady drinking tea, I don't know. But The Great Hack is about data mining and how all of our data is being used against us, how it was used in the last election, and how we're fucked.
It's a recent documentary?
Yeah.
Kind of? Okay.
So watch it, because it's very good, but also obviously fucking terrifying. And
You know
what? What do you think is like the scariest thing that you learned from it? Because I definitely want to watch it.
That they don't believe that we have a right to own our own data is the problem.
Yeah.
Like this guy sued to try and get his own data back from this company, from Cambridge Analytica, you know, fucking Steve Bannon's like company.
Yeah.
And air quotes. Which he came up with that name, which is like the stupidest fucking name that a fucking piece of shit would come up with. That's like, here's a smart British name for a fucking business. Anyway, so this guy sued. So that was the scariest thing, is just that we don't even have a right to our own data.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I just learned yesterday? Do you know every time you do a CACHPA, your input is actually teaching Google cars, self-driving cars, how to drive like that. Because you're identifying.
To recognize street signs and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Cars and everything. That's like, we're all unwittingly like teaching self-driving cars how to do it. I'm furious.
Honestly, I'm pro self-driving car, so good.
See, I'm furious about it.
Have you ever looked up your old houses or apartments where you've lived?
Oh,
look
it
up on Google Maps and then like do the street view and see if you see anybody you know around.
Ooh, I'm gonna do that today though.
Yeah, those are funny sometimes, just like somebody crazy in the background.
I was gonna do, because I ooh, this is not a bad idea. I had thought about years ago doing a bus tour called oh my god, now I can't remember. Oh, Map to the Scars. And it would be like a bus tour of me going around to all the like bad breakups and like shitty guys I'd fuck or whatever the hell LA. And so maybe I could do that on Google Earth instead. And then I could be like, he's right there. He's still hanging out on his porch and, you know, working at 7-Eleven or whatever.
That's really funny. There was definitely a house I looked up, and it was our like, it was kind of like a rundown house that had seen a lot of people move through it. And it wasn't us on the front porch, but there were still people on the front porch drinking.
That feels good.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. I like that.
You're like, tale as old as time. Just being passed down.
It's like one of those military memorials where they have somebody who has to like kind of stand guard. There always has to be somebody drinking beer on the front porch. Perfect.
Like the flame that never burns out.
Absolutely. Oh man. Oh, I had a fun story from the other day. Speaking of memorials, we did a thing here in LA. What was that, 2 days ago, Babs? When was that? Where like you took flowers downtown to City Hall, basically, for Breonna Taylor, and I had a really delightful day. Tess, I got a little like Eagle Rock thrown in there, where I went to one of our florists over here, and it was only cash only because their card machine was down. And I was like, oh, I don't have any cash. She's like, oh, just bring me $10 later whenever you can, which was like very.
I love that florist, the one by Swerk.
Yeah, the one by Swerk. Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's got like BLM signs in the windows and everything. It was awesome. Yeah. And then so I took them. I got like a half dozen. I took them downtown, and then when I pulled off the ramp, there was like a homeless guy there with a sign, and I gave him like half of my roses, and I was like, sell these to the white people, get some money out of this.
Smart.
I was like, I'll put half of them here.
Because it was like a thing that day. Everyone was bringing roses to City Hall, so it was like, you can especially get rid of these right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, here, sell these roses. Let's double sell them, make some money, which is fun. And
I like any time you like have a business you regularly go to and they do something so nice, and you're like, it makes you feel like you live in a small, like, French town.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, my God, thank you.
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine any place I would go to around here that would be like, don't worry about it. Come bring me it next time. There's no way.
Merci.
Bonjour. Yeah, for sure. It was really sweet. And he was like, are you taking these downtown? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, cool, awesome. Like, people are coming in all day. And then so there's this awesome list on like the LA Times right now of like all these like black owned restaurants and stuff. And once you're in LA, you're like 15 minutes from Compton. So I was like, let me go to a place that's like, there's a bunch of black businesses that are like up on the east side that I'm like, they're getting overwhelmed, like people are like hitting them up like crazy. So I was like, well, let me go to something that like is a neighborhood I haven't been to. And I went to this barbecue place, and it was so sweet because they didn't know about the list at all, and they were like, oh, you've come here for the first time. And I was like, oh, yeah, I saw it on the LA Times list. And then this lady in the window just goes, we're in the LA Times? Holy shit. And she called the boss in, and she was just like, I pulled up the article, and they were like, we're in the LA Times. And then all the employees just started going, when are we getting a raise? We're in the LA Times now. It was so cute and funny.
Again, it sounds like you live in a small French town.
I know.
We are in this Gazette.
Totally. It was such a like really, really like positive day, and I was just like, I'm just having a good time. This is great. Got a bunch of really awesome ribs.
And that barbecue is fucking bomb. Ooh. Brandy brought me some. It was really good.
Ooh. Yeah, Johnson Brothers barbecue down in Compton, if you live in LA.
Did you get hush puppies?
Didn't get hush puppies, but I got ribs, pulled pork. They had really good mac and cheese and baked beans. It was really real top notch situation.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We moved into our new place like a year ago, and it's really dangerous because there's a Korean / Southern cooking chain called Bok Bok here. Okay. And it's just like, they've got kimchi mac and cheese, and I can just hit it on caviar, and then 10 minutes later walk downstairs, get it, and then walk back up. It's dangerous.
That is very dangerous.
Kimchi mac and cheese. That's interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where it's like, I'm adventurous in that way. Like, I'll try it, but I'm not picturing how that works.
Yeah. I mean, I trust
I feel
it.
Like it's just like mac and cheese with some like a little like, I don't know, vinegary.
It's with the cheese. It's mixed in with the cheese.
Okay.
And then it's like a small garnish on top. I assure you it works.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Can I tell you guys, I got a candle next to my water, and I have almost burned my face off. I'm gonna move this like several times during the Zoom call. Keep like reaching over, and I almost grabbed fire. Just gonna not do that.
I've definitely done that before. I was making food the other day. I've just been like, you know, so out of it, and I almost put sugar like all over my dinner. It's that time.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay, we're gonna put some sugar. I don't know.
Pour some sugar on us.
And we'll be back. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Andy.
And we're here with Andy.
Yay.
Sorry,
No, you're great.
No, I think we kind of have made that a tradition of like the guests saying it in the third segment, but we also never tell them that or set them up. So it's kind of just like a game of chicken as far as who's going to say.
Yeah, it's a real minimum.
I mean, I think like all hosts, we just want to make you feel a smidge uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Keep you on your toes, you know.
Yeah, it's been so awkward with like conversations and like comedy shows over Zoom because you'll like say a joke, and then like 20 seconds later hear a chuckle.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's like any joke on any Adult Swim show in 2004. Yeah. Like it would happen, and then maybe 2 minutes later you made a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
Like a
Oh, that's what the problem is. I just thought that I was not getting any laughs ever, but I'll just chalk it up to the 20-second delay. The 20-second laugh delay on Zoom.
Exactly.
Totally.
Let's do a lady problem.
Let's do it.
If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Okay, here we go. Hi, ladies. I have a relationship problem with my sweet partner, and I really need some ideas for how we can begin to deal with it. We're both in our early 30s, and we've been together for almost 4 years. We've always had problems getting my partner to be comfortable with regular sex, like more than once a month, which I thought was due to their inexperience. They get really anxious leading up to it, even though they enjoy the act itself, and we are comfortable with each other once we get going. Starting in the early years, it was like 4 weeks, then 6, then 8 from the last time we'd slept together, no matter what I did. Feeling like I was always going to be shut down felt so bad that it got to the point last year where I stopped initiating anything sexual. I've struggled for a long time to feel good about my appearance. How could I not in this situation? Since we've been sheltering in place, though, there's been a plot twist. They came out to me as gender fluid a couple of months ago. My partner was assigned male at birth and is now experimenting with their identity with help from a therapist. I identify as a straight cis woman, but maybe this means I'm pansexual now. I'm thrilled my partner and best friend is figuring out to live their truth. I'm also fairly confident that this is why we haven't done anything but kiss for almost 5 whole months. That's a whole lot of jacking off alone and avoiding the conversation, y'all. They tell me they think I'm sexy, but without the physical act to back it up, I have a hard time believing them. They feel really guilty that their anxiety has led me to a bad self-image, and I think someone having sex with me because they feel guilty is one of the top 5 worst feelings in the world. Mm. No accidental quarantine babies are happening over here, but we get along really well and have strong communication, so I feel like it's something we can overcome together. We both want to build our sex life back up. We have no idea how. We're pretty determined to spend the rest of our lives together, and sex is really the only problem we have. I just want it to be fun and comfortable again. Any ideas on how to start doing the thing we both want to do and enjoy but haven't been able to do yet as our authentic selves? Thanks for the many laughs over the years, and hopefully for your advice now. Identity crisis in California.
I think that when you first come out as either trans or gender fluid or anywhere on that whole spectrum, when you come out on the spectrum, it's important to communicate with your partner because you give them like anything you feel about not getting attention from your partner, multiply that by like 50%, and that's what the other person's going through, and you're kind of like, it's kind of like somebody finally, it's like somebody gave you a key to a bunch of cars, and you can choose one car, but you're not sure what car you want. So there's this, like, sexual Goldilocks period sometimes. But, like, LOX, that's the gender-neutral version of Goldilocks. Just wanted to put that out there.
Sexual Goldilocks is also a good DJ name.
But it's just about, like, it's finding out how to communicate with each other over again. And it can be very, it can be very difficult to broach the conversation about what you're both into. And also if you need to bring toys into it, and that becomes, like, a bigger thing. It's oftentimes like a cis person finding out what tops and bottoms are for the first time. That can be it. But I mean, technically, it doesn't mean that they're possibly pansexual. Their relationship can work on a certain level without it having to be spoken roles. And that can sometimes help too. But it is it's very weird for folks who are cis to like have somebody come out, because they're kind of like, you kind of like restructured everything. It like could even mean that you're both going suddenly into the same bathroom to go to the bathroom. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like that can be wild, because then you're like having to hear the other person pee in the same room as you, and that's like new.
That is an aspect of it I never considered before. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's tough because it sounds like it started off with, you know, that they've had problems like being comfortable together. So it does sound like overall, yeah, you just need to, I don't know how, but to kind of like really step back and refresh and kind of start new in some way if you can figure that out. I mean, it's hard when you've been together so long, but.
Well, and I would assume that, you know, now that you, they are like living, you know, a more, you know, authentic version of themselves too, hopefully, you know, versus this like being very closeted about it before, like that hopefully that will make them more open to and more comfortable with themselves, I would hope too. I mean, is there something to like watching like gender fluid porn together just to be like, okay, well, let's be like turned on by watching this thing separately? Or I mean, I don't know.
I think it starts with an honest conversation of what each other is into, mm-hmm. or like, hey, I find that there's this huge, when you come out as trans, there's this whole period, at least for trans women especially, where that trans women are trying to find out who they are in both clothing and mm-hmm. gender at the same time. And it's that whole, like, when you were, like, 8 years old and wear rain boots with a tutu and a fireman's hat. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to go through that at 40.
Mm.
So it's like, it can be something like, I think the name's probably coming soon. So being able to tell and defend your partner even when they're not in earshot and like defending their honor and not even telling them. Like a lot of about the like best thing to do sometimes is listen and act, but not like turn around for them to let them know that something happened. It's like when people start using, somebody comes out as trans and they start using pronouns very strongly, like she and her needs, and like clearly just saying it louder so you can hear it and be like
warned. Yeah, yeah.
It's like the white girl who orders a quesadilla by going like quesadilla.
Yeah, yeah. Gordita. Yeah, yeah. Gordita. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fanta.
Yeah.
Shasta.
I mean, the good thing is that it sounds like, you know, mm-hmm. you do have a strong, like, strong relationship, and you are both in love with each other and, like, willing to, like, really go through it together and, like, figure this out. So at least you're starting off with a really good foundation of kind of, like, working together. I mean, I think, you know, getting some therapy together would probably be a great idea. We talked about this a lot. Every couple should go through therapy, yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But that might be a good place to start, maybe, to kind of... Because I, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm like a obviously very outspoken person, but I have a hell of a time telling my partner what I need, like in everywhere, sexually, relationship wise. It's just not natural to me at all. And so, you know, that's something that like I really have to work on with us, and I'm not great at working on it. So I think with us, that would really help me, you know, if we got therapy and just like, kind of had that middle ground person to kind of help you get out what you're like not saying.
Yeah. And I would also add that I don't think that the person who wrote this in should, I mean, obviously your partner's going through this big transitional phase in their life, mm-hmm. but like you should also, and I think it'll only help them, like the more honest you are about what you want too. Like mm-hmm. don't forget yourself in the equation. And I think the more open and honest you are about your own mm-hmm. like wants and needs, the more that's going to encourage them to kind of follow suit.
I think it's also like important to be like, I know you're super trying to figure things out again, and we could see that as a very scary thing that mm-hmm. would scare me. Like you would assume in some sort of like thought that mm-hmm. that's how somebody's going to react to this, but you could maybe flip it to be like a really positive thing. Mm-hmm. Like we get to go to the store, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's most important. I'm willing to bet if it hasn't happened, it will happen soon, a name change. Mm-hmm. And maybe it could be like, hey, if you want to try a new name, just let me know. And mm-hmm. like, you try many names out. But like that kind of small communication thing might open things up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You have to seem like you're fluid in the way that you handle it. Does that make sense? Like, just kind of organically being like, oh, let's do this and, you know, give you the space to, like, change or grow or get rid of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's, like, a really encouraging, like, to help bring something up that maybe they might be nervous to talk about, like, a name change and really embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, your identity as a couple is changing. So I think the more kind of fluid that you can be, because you are part of this process, like you guys are changing as a pair. And so the more, it seems like the more kind of like proactive and involved and flexible and fluid you can be in that process, the better.
That happened with me and Linus, my partner. I came out as a trans woman and then he came out as a trans dude, and it came out at separate times, and was definitely a growing experience in both ways, and like, communication's been key to us the whole time. We've been together for, how long have we been together? 18 years?
Yeah, that's about right.
We celebrate, I think we celebrate 19 years together in 2 months. So
that's beautiful.
That's amazing.
But yeah, all that same stuff where like ending up peeing in the same bathroom for a while as while we're still like figuring out our presentations. It was both fun and not.
I'm sure like any experience like this, it's going to be full of like, you know, exciting new things and also just like stuff you're not expecting that's harder.
For sure.
Like, something like that seems like it might not be huge in the grand scheme of things, but maybe affects you in a way you're not expecting.
Mm-hmm. I imagine if everybody's still in quarantine wherever you are, like hair shit would be real helpful. Like if somebody has short hair, long hair, be like, let's try some hair shit, because that's also got to be hard that you can't get a haircut at the moment. But maybe helping them find a place to get a haircut and be like, I don't have to hold your hand in here, but I suggest this place, and these people seem chill.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe cool. Also make sure you're setting aside time to go on like dates. Like this is like a date night for us to like redefine. Like okay, what let's. So you're not, like, just talking about this. You're taking this out in the world and, like, a romantic practice as well, too. You know?
What is the status with stuff? Vegas is open again? I don't know what's going on. Once you can safely do it.
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean more in terms of, like, going for a drive. Like, even if it's at home, it's just having, like, a romantic date night. You're like, this is a date night. We're going to figure out something fun to do, like, as a date, as a couple or whatever.
Me and Linus have been getting through all this by having, we've been picking a director or a series of films and watching all the movies by that like series of films. We did all the Mad Max movies over the last few weeks, and we're starting to do Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I was just thinking about my ambitious project too. I was planning on like doing a deep read of every single play in Stephen Sondheim's canon at the beginning of this, and I only got to 3 plays so far. That's what I was just thinking about.
That's not bad. I mean, that's pretty heavy duty.
There's so many things I said that I was going to do at the beginning of all this. I'm going to be like, I'm going to get this done. And then I've just been staring at a computer screen for like 20 minutes a day thinking about the thing I should be doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's classic comedian, artist, procrastinator brain.
More things change, the more they stay the same sometimes.
But yeah, I think for the most part it's just being super open and super thoughtful and like figure out a haircut situation or be like, I don't know, it's like a thin line walking between being like trying to be supportive and then like on the other side of it being like, oh, this is cloying.
And I mean, there is some stuff in, you know, that's like, obviously, like Tess said, you do have to look out for yourself. I mean, if you're feeling really shitty because you're not feeling like attractive or, you know, you get rejected all the time, that's definitely something you need to address, because that you shouldn't be feeling like that with your partner. I mean, occasionally, you know, once in a while, obviously you're going to feel like shitty about something, not on purpose, but if you're constantly feeling rejected by them, that's like a whole thing to kind of figure out.
I mean, the most important thing that's happening right now is like when that's happening, you have to know that it has nothing to do about you and your appearances. Mm-hmm. And if anything, if they've been together with you, you've been a catalyst for them being able to communicate this about themselves. And it means that like there's something truly special about whatever math or is going on in your relationship that a person's able to open up like this. That's only a compliment to you and how attractive you are as a human being, how spiritual you are. When you, but like, when you struggle with being unclothed entirely, as any trans person or non-binary person goes through, like, you struggle to take off your clothes. So then, like, being reminded of the parts you don't want or the parts you do want when it comes to, like, sexual encounter can be very, very hard. But, yeah, just asking each other what each other's porn tastes is also important.
That'll go a long way.
And that's just universal advice, I think.
Yeah. Do you think Zoom is going to make a lot of first-person porn being very common now?
Like, I mean, POV? I think that was already a thing.
Oh, like camming and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, but like the first-person porn where the person's like acting like they're the camera is the
oh, like,
person.
Right, oh, like POV?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I
got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think 3D stuff is definitely.
Oh yeah! As soon as they perfect virtual reality, no one's leaving the house. Like, that's all anyone's gonna do.
Although I will say, have you guys ever watched like really bad 3D porn? It's pretty funny.
No.
Just me, everyone? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do some Googles later, but okay.
It's like, you know, when you click on, like, there'll be an ad that's like Homer and Marge fucking, and you're like, what is this? And you click on it, and then and attached to that is all this stuff that's like really bad graphic rendering of like someone fucking, but it's just like a sound playing over and over in like the same shot 10 times.
Oh, man. Really.
I just had something come out of I was in a film that won the Hump Festival. The Hump Film Festival.
Congratulations.
It was called Queer Safari. And I use it as a credit in my bio. Hump Film Festival award winner.
That's awesome.
I keep forgetting that like we made a porn. And that's like bad, that sounds bad, but
that's the sequel to We Bought a Zoo, We Made a Porn.
Queer Safari. Made a porn, Queer Safari.
Yeah.
It was about this hookup scene in this, there's a park in Seattle that has a bathroom, a men's bathroom that's open 24 hours in just a kind of remote park that's open all the time. So it is like a hot spot for glory holes.
Sure.
And like, so the glory hole would get sawzalled in, and then the parks department would get upset and fill in the glory hole. And so they would just move to another side of the divider and do another one. And so they just got so pissed off that they sawzalled the entire divider between the two stalls.
Oh my god.
So it was just two stalls with a tiny railing at your foot.
Oh my god, I've never thought about that, how hard that would be to get through like a divider in a bathroom, because that seems like a very hard, like that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Do you need like hardware?
I was saying to my coworker, I'm like, oh, you'd think anybody with a sawzall like that would say that they really make a lot of glory holes. I'm like, so anybody with a sawzall is a person that's like suspect of being super gay and cruising. And he was like, it's not a sawzall, it's a right hand circular micro blade saw. I'm like, okay then.
All right, well, now we know.
I just like the idea of like going to Home Depot to get your glory hole tools.
You need tools for your glory hole for the tools.
It's Lowe's. Everyone, it's Lowe's.
Home Depot's canceled.
Home Depot donated to Trump.
I haven't. Oh, did they really?
Yeah, of course.
Specifically for the queer community, it's Lowe's.
So get your
glory hole tools at Lowe's, everyone.
If you're looking to keep things on the low down, I suggest getting down with Lowe's.
Offer code lady. Hey.
Give it a shot. It might work.
See what happens.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Andy. It was awesome to talk with you. What's your social shout out so everybody can see it and follow your DJ parties and stuff too?
I'm at Andy Wanzio on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all of that. Nice. My Instagram, I do it, yeah, like I said, I've been DJing for like 20 years, and I do mix shows every Saturday and Sunday for just for 2 hours, so mm-hmm. I can just, you know, vent.
What time is it at? It's at 4? What time is it at?
4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, or was that 7 to 9 Eastern? Mm-hmm. It's a good middle
of
the...
Yeah, it's a fun, middle of the day, like, hang.
Yeah, and, it's a lot of me doing that and yelling stuff, and, I'm just doing them to be just straightforward me DJing. It's not anything where I'm like, oh, I'm taking donations, because, like, all the actions that I'm taking, I'm not, like, I'm making a conscious point to not just be, like, putting them out there being like, look at me here, me mm-hmm. donating to this. Mm-hmm. I've just kind of kept it different, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that got it a strong message.
I think we're all making sure we're putting out, you know what I mean? We're all being very aware of like what we're putting out there right now. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, go to her dance party, follow her everywhere. This has been so fun, you guys.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andy. Great. And then, we'll be over on the top secret session for all our Patreon people. If you want to check that out, go to patreon.com/ladytolady.
Woo! Bye, y'all.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.